Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 11, Number 11. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I completed my contest training and diet plan review for Mr. Hawaii, scheduled for June 8th, 2013. That was a four-part series that included a basic layout from start to finish of how I think, plan, and prepare for a natural bodybuilding competition. First, I decide on the show and location. I do it for myself to press out a better me, and I do it for personal enjoyment as well as the athletic challenge it demands. I consider the practicality of the event and the timing in terms of its effects on my life and family work obligations, as well as my state of health. Remember the law of life rule, do no harm. Next, I create a detailed plan 1 year in advance called a macrocycle. I then divide the year into four mesocycles, the first three of which include changes primarily in training intensity, volume sets, reps, exercises, angles, and grip spacing. The fourth mesocycle is where I begin the actual dieting for the show. Year-round, I'm eating a natural whole food diet designed for health first, followed by performance. It's important to differentiate between the two. Those who focus on performance always get into trouble when they neglect health. Many athletes make the mistake of ignoring health and pay dearly for this error in judgment. In life, everyone has to pay a toll for everything they do and what they don't do. I consume lots of protein shakes and dietary supplements throughout the year, plenty of alkaline, colored food packed with antioxidants and micronutrients. My diet is low in sodium, high in potassium, and rich in omega-3 fats. The competition diet, which I call 100 days out, consists of a slow, gradual decrease in energy consumption, principally from fats and carbs, during which time I slowly increase energy expenditure through training and physical activity. I also keep my protein and nitrogen levels up constantly to protect my lean mass. And of course, optimum hydration is critical. This forces my body to shed stored body fat gradually without much suffering or pain. The key is to stay mentally focused and injury-free. No crazy, insane, last-minute dietary madness. No fanatical diets. And no compromise when it comes to food quality. For me, I must follow the tenets of natural health philosophy to consider myself a success. And my own interpretation of what that means is a trillion times more important than anyone else's. If I have to break any moral law along the way to achieve a temporary value that results in harm, injury, or damage to myself or others, then I would simply prefer not to do it. And so it goes. On this edition of Clinical Review, I want to talk about food cravings and emotions. I call this one Too Much, Too Little, Too Late. And I actually borrowed the title from a song that I like that is sung by Johnny Mathis, one of my favorites. Just a beautiful voice. Too much means you're eating too much food, too much of the wrong kind of food, or too much of what you crave. What we crave today is usually the worst kind of food. Do you crave organic oranges or beet tops from the garden? I think not. What we crave tells us about gland exhaustion, fouled insulin chemistry, and our destiny. If we crave factory feedlot food, we're definitely heading in the wrong direction. What exactly do you crave anyway? Sugar, salty food, meat, fat, dairy, bread? Our cravings tell a personal genetic story about our metabolism, blood sugar, and emotional state. Do you eat late at night when no one is looking? Do you snack throughout the day on sweets, donuts, and candy? Maybe you like to dive into heavy, savory foods like burgers and fries, pizza and beer, or thick, juicy, meaty submarine sandwiches. Everything has a limit, even the speed of light. Too little means not enough exercise or intensity. Perhaps you're not eating enough whole food, not enough of what we evolved from, the stuff we need on a cellular level to the tune of 100 trillion cells, that is. How about fresh air or clean filtered water? What about that which cometh first, protein? Are you getting 2 grams of non-denatured protein per kilogram of lean mass every day? If not, your muscle fibers and immune system can't respond to the effects of training. Not enough nitrogen there to stay positive. Like gravity, there are limits to growth, natural or pharmaceutical. But as far as you and I go, muscle fibers either can't recover or grow or both if we don't hit the right biochemical numbers. Supply your demand. If you're not achieving the results you desire, check your math. Here's a certainty in the eyes of uncertainty. If we don't get what we need, we'll surely die before our time. We'll also suffer needlessly in many ways, as sure as a photon of light is created from the fusion of hydrogen deep within the sun. But if we try sometimes, we'll get what we need. What we want, well, that's a different story. Want is irrelevant to the body. Let's just focus on what we need and sustain that. Business first, pleasure second. Too late means we're staying up too late, the effects of which show up in our eyes, regardless of makeup. Maybe we showed up too late and missed the boat again. Maybe we missed the winning goal or the final performance. Perhaps we missed the train or the plane or the automobile. Of course, too late might be good if we missed the Titanic, but for a very important date, that might not be cool. Too late for dinner, if you're hungry, is a bummer. Too late for love is a fable. It's never too late for love. Too late is too long. Be there or be square. Either do or don't. Squabble less, do more. The real question here is this: are we truly getting exactly what we need? By what we need, I mean what we need to survive, thrive, train, and bust ass. Busting ass means eating organic, real, fresh, whole food. It means actually doing it everywhere, all the time, because we want to. No BS. For sure we need chi. Chi must be recycled constantly. Chi is simply an acronym for that which flows in and through us. Pure energy. That which animates us. Let's call it life. The stuff inside that makes us tick, the magical elixir that compels us to stay alive and seek true lasting wellness, the good stuff. So let's take things one day at a time, like today. Was today a good day? It was for me. I took my supplements with my pre- and post-workout shakes. Yummy. Love those shakes. And if not, why not? Shake and take, bro. I had a great morning workout, and about an hour after my post-workout shake, I chowed down on some great whole natural clean food. I had a big glass of fresh organic carrot juice mixed with ginger, beets, parsley, cucumber, and celery. Wow! Love that ginger, and man, does it bite. What a great natural anti-inflammatory. Then I tore into a nice chunk of undercooked wild salmon and demolished a huge organic green salad smothered in omega-3 rich dressing. Homemade, of course. What we eat is a reflection of our consciousness. A consciousness of health and wellness, if we choose fresh, whole food. Or a consciousness of ignorance and neglect, if we choose empty, dead, sterile food. Foods that heal and nourish, heal and nourish. Foods that contaminate and destroy, contaminate and destroy. Now, you have to read that slowly and listen to that several times to really get what I just stated. So let's read those last two sentences again. Number one, foods that heal and nourish, heal and nourish. Two, foods that contaminate and destroy, contaminate and destroy. Now, what part of those two sentences don't you get if you don't? The heal and nourish part or the contaminate and destroy part? We are directed from within and then act without. We think, then we move. The environment, which exists independent of our perception of it, is constantly sending us a barrage of mixed messages. Some of them are true, many are false. How we react to our environment is a function of our brain power and possibly a demonstrable lack of it. But it is also a function of human emotion. 120 individual emotions have been mapped out by the experts. Some say the number is infinite. Like the universe, they keep expanding. The six basic emotions include anger, disgust, fear, happiness, sadness, and surprise. Surprised? There is also what is known as the wheel of emotion established according to various criteria. It reveals an interesting kaleidoscope of emotions balanced by contrasting positive and negative emotional states. Here are some examples. Joy versus sadness, gratitude versus anger, hope versus fear, and love versus hate. Emotion is intimately connected to human nutrition, blood sugar, and brain state. Originally, it was eat to live or be eaten, but there was nothing to consume but natural food. Today, we eat to relieve artificial stress, and what we eat is a nightmare. It's from hell. It's toxic. Modern emotional stress is physiologically real to the body, but the cause is often manufactured, like driving home in rush hour traffic. So we eat to feel pleasure, to deaden the pain, and we often do this without any moral or intellectual restraint. What we eat is often a reflection of what's eating us. Emotion is a cerebral disturbance that occurs in order something like this. First, cognitive appraisal. We process the data in the nervous system and brain. Second, physiological change. The body reacts biochemically and emotionally. And third is action. Movement is initiated and observed. First, we assess the event cognitively. This then cues our emotional response. Next, the cognitive reaction starts biological changes, such as increased heart rate or some weird type of hormonal response. We feel the emotion and choose to react. Notice I said choose. What happens to us is 10% of the game, 90% is how we handle it, how we respond. I personally have learned not to trust emotion unless it is good. Logic first, positive emotions second. Negative emotions are crud for the most part. Of course, there are certain exceptions. Like, for example, disgust is an emotion that protects us from eating food that is so far gone and spoiled that it would kill us if we ate it. Just by looking at it, we feel disgust, like if we look at spoiled, rotten flesh. So that emotion, it might be negative, but actually it leads to a positive outcome. So, of course, the rule is there are exceptions to everything. Now, this concept is very powerful if you get it. The science says we have control over our emotions. I don't want to hear anyone saying, I can't control myself. I can't control my emotions. Because if you say that, then you are behaving irrationally and you're out of sync with science. That we actually create them as a consequence of our perception of reality is what we know. Emotions, that is. Emotions appear after an event, not before, or any experience we perceive. So we perceive something and then we experience the emotion. And the emotion is, first of all, sustained in a process that is dependent on our cognitive, intellectual, logical assessment. Emotions come after we cognitively appraise reality and any situation. Aristotle said that we can never master ourselves without first mastering our emotions. I agree. If we can't control our emotions, how can we control our behavior? Furthermore, How can we control what we eat if we can't think straight? William James said, truth is what works. So let's make it work. It being your whole life, my whole life. Let's learn to control our emotions and act like rational human beings. Let's act responsibly and take an account of what's going on. We are, after all, the ones in control. Controlled exercise and intellectually advanced nutrition is the only way to go. All of the science sides with us. So what path will you choose? The pathway of reason, logic, and positive emotion, or the pathway of self-destruction? Remember our friend Johnny Mathis? Yes, it's over. Call it a day. Sorry that it had to end this way. No reason to pretend. We knew it had to end someday this way. Too much, too little, too late to ever try again. Too much, too little, too late. Let's end it being friends. Too much, too little, too late. We knew it had to end. It's time, my friends. It's time to end our relationship with dominant negative emotions. Emotions that dominate our thought life and ruin our lives. It's time to end our relationship with negative, destructive people. It's time to end our relationship with sterile, dead food that causes harm and destroys ourselves. And it's time to end our relationship with any and all action we know that is harmful to our being. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from mathematician and philosopher Bertrand Russell. The degree of one's emotions varies inversely with the knowledge of the facts.